Thank you for tuning and listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next is a replay of our Sunday, July 16th church service with music from Sylvia and the worship team and a message from Pastor Ripley.
He's on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. And we want to remember these precious brothers and sisters this morning as we pray as the body of Christ. And God is already answering prayer because we prayed for Russ, and look at what's happening. And also, I know with Warren, his situation is getting better. So we just pray it would continue, that he's able to sleep, that he's able to rest. And, you know, we're living in a world right now that I think all of us can agree that it's a time where we never imagined we would see some of the things that we're seeing in front of us. And I don't want to spend any or too much time on that, but just I want to remind you that as we come together as the body of Christ every Sunday, that we have a chance to remember how great God is. Amen. And that, as I said, Jesus is on the throne. And, you know, to think that we're the only people that have gone through what we're going through, look at history. Look at what the body of Christ dealt with and, I might add, overcame. And maybe they died as martyrs. Maybe they did. But they stayed true to Christ. Yeah. And if we're called to that, so be it. And you know, it's easy to say that from up here. It's a lot harder to live through that. But you know, I want to remind you of somebody that who needs our prayers as well, and that's Arthur Pawlowski. Yeah. So I don't know if you knew this, but apparently in August, he's going to be facing court. Sentencing. And it looks like he'd be doing some prison time. Again. So, and some, a lot more serious prison time. So he needs our prayers. And for us to think that that's just an isolated situation, I think we're fooling ourselves, right? So I just want to read to you Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. David said elsewhere, my soul thirsts for the living God. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. You know, when you feel that dryness, the day-to-day sometimes, you just need God to touch you. Well, you're in good company sometimes. David knew all about it. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands, and I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. We don't have to fear. Every situation is in God's hands. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Hallelujah. Politicians, beware. All those that spew out lies day in and day out, beware. God knows what's happening, and he will not allow it to continue. Let's pray together. We rejoice in the fact that, Lord, that you are God, and that we can turn to you, and we thirst for you. We long for you, just as David did, Lord. And our circumstances are varied. I just want to lift up to you Arthur Pawlowski, Lord. I pray that you would come near to him. I pray that he would know the truth of your word as he has experienced your faithfulness, even with what he's gone through so far. I pray your hand upon him, Lord. I pray that those that are persecuting him would be ashamed in Jesus' name. I pray they'd be caught with their own lies. And Lord, you know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and you know what he needs to go through. But we just pray, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient for him. And anyone else that follows after him, Lord, in these dark days where the very church leaders are persecuted. And we know it's gone on way worse in many other countries. And we pray for those as well in the persecuted church that are suffering torture, that are dealing with such brutality. May their lips sing the praises of God in the midst of what they're going through. Lord, we want to thank you for answering prayer for Russ. And we pray, Lord God, you continue working in his life and heal him completely, that he will be able to walk fully again, Lord God. And that those that are caring for him in the hospital, Lord, that they would see that God is working.
Yes.
And we thank you for that, Lord. And I pray as well for Warren. I pray, Lord God, that you would minister to him, continue working in his life. We pray, Lord, for healing for him. We pray that he would receive the much-needed rest that he just has to have. So we pray for your mercy upon him, oh God. And Lord, we pray for Carol. Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon her as she goes to Kelowna. We pray that these complications would become simple. We just commit her to you, Lord. And we thank you. And Lord, we just again want to pray even for us, Lord, and what's to come. Help us to cling to you, Lord. Help us to be found searching for you in the midst of whatever's happening.
Yes, Lord.
That we would not give up, we would not give in, but we would trust in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we would not let go. Jesus, our Savior, our God, our Lord, and our King. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. How do we enter into the presence of God? With thanksgiving in our hearts. To come into your presence, Lord. We just come before you humbly, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, cleanse our hearts right now. Make us a people who are wholly yours, Lord, fully yours, fully surrendered, Lord. No other loves, no other gods, Lord, but you and you alone, Jesus.
How lovely is your dwelling.
Satisfied.
For hear my heart.
That many of us have just lived lukewarm lives, Lord God, and we don't want that. We want to have a fire that burns for you, Jesus, that is fully, wholly committed to you, Lord. No other loves, no adulterous eyes, Lord God, no adulterous relationships in our hearts, oh God, toward any other God, but to you and you alone, Jesus. For you are the King of glory, and you are coming back for your bride. And you will have a sword that comes out of your mouth, Lord God. You will come and rule the nations. You will come and judge the nations, oh God. And we want to be covered by the blood of the Lamb fully, fully, Lord. To be completely called yours, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Good to see all the children making their way down to Children's Church. We pray a blessing on these children. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to go to the book of Ezekiel. Yes, the book of Ezekiel. I thought Pastor Raph was going to preach my sermon this morning, but he held back. How many know that we're living in hostile times? Hostile towards the gospel. Hostile towards the truth that's embedded in God's word. And this morning, it appears to me that many are, in essence, opposed to the message that we're preaching. There's a doctrine out there. There's a thinking out there. And many want the church to succumb to that thinking. And really, in many cases, there's not even an option. And that draws me to this story that I want to read this morning from the Toronto Star. Drag queen story time has left the library and has entered into the school system. That's right. The Toronto District School Board, the largest school board in the nation, is now allowing drag queens to come in and tell their stories to children ages 6 to 13. The Toronto Star reports that various activists described as being mainly from the two SLGBTQ+ communities are up in arms because some parents don't want their kids listening to grown men in women's attire reciting stories and songs. Have you ever wondered why a man would want to dress up as a woman and talk to little kids? Have you ever thought in your mind today why a grown man would want to dress up in women's attire and talk to little kids? That in itself should set the alarm bells going. Hello? Hello? The Toronto District School Board has given parents an opt-out clause allowing their children to attend other activities. Now, again, this is from the National Post. This was just put out there yesterday. Allowing their children to attend other activities when drag queen story time is being performed. Oh, isn't that nice of them? They're going to give the parents an opt-out clause. Now, friends, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're talking about children this morning. We're talking about defending the rights of little children. Are you hearing me this morning? When you saw all those children go down into Sunday school, we have a calling from God to defend every child in this nation. I'm reading from the article. This may seem like a perfectly sensible policy to adopt, giving parents and children the freedom to choose. One hopes that parents still have some say in how their children are educated and what they are being taught. But Raiko Rodriguez, a teacher who works at the TDSB, is also a drag queen, and he was incensed that all the work that I have done myself personally and that others did before me has been destroyed just by that statement that you can opt out, and that's not right, he says. And anyone that opts out is hateful, and they are bigots. That's what the LGBTQ plus community is saying about anyone that disagrees with them. Anyone who has the guts in this hour to stand up and say, I don't agree. Thank you. Come on, somebody. I don't agree. I don't agree. Now, while we have put our head in the sand and hope that all would go away, the devil is pressing the battle for our children. See, I'm talking about our children. If an adult wants to dress up as a woman, I don't agree with it, but if that's what they want to do, they can do it. Where I have a problem is when we begin to indoctrinate our children, our little ones, 6 years old. Friends, this is where I draw the line. I said, this is where I draw the line. Amen. The church will soon be formulated and castigated as a bunch of bigots. But friends, I still stand upon the word of God. Hallelujah. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as long as I'm behind this pulpit, I will stand against the wickedness that's pervading in this place, in this nation. Oh, you were at the meeting on Wednesday. I happened to be there also, as they tried to shove this climate change thinking down our throats. I'm not saying we shouldn't be a good steward, as Eric brought out on Wednesday night. I believe that. But everything is encapsulated to cause division and to stand against the truth. And I want to get this out here. According to the Bible, man will never destroy this earth. But I can tell you who will eventually destroy this earth and create a new heavens and a new earth. And his name is God Almighty. The LGBTQ plus community is activating to destroy every child, every teenager, every young person. They are endeavoring to confuse at a very young age the innocence of being a child. You say, Pastor, you sound like you're angry. You're right, I'm angry. And if Jesus was here today, standing behind this pulpit, he would be angry too. Because he said, if anyone touches these little ones It's better than a millstone be hung around their neck and they be cast into the deepest sea. That's what the Bible says. When you touch a child, you're touching the heart of God. When you touch a child, you're touching the heart of God. There's a lot more I could say on this issue, but I want to get to the scriptures this morning. Because the question arises today, are you willing to be unpopular for the sake of the truth? I want to ask the question again. Are you willing to be unpopular for the sake of the truth? The prophets lived in that type of society. Ezekiel was one of them. He had to preach an unpopular message in the midst of a people that had rebelled against God. And friends, what makes North America different than most nations is we are sinning against the light. Are you hearing me? We have had the gospel. Oh, listen. If you've got cable TV, there are so many channels you can turn to and hear the gospel. There are radio stations like ours, many more on the internet. You can download a Bible at any time and read it. Friends, let me tell you, no one in this nation has an excuse for not knowing the gospel message. There are churches virtually, especially in the U.S., almost on every corner. Small and large churches preaching the gospel. Are you hearing me? There are so many ministries that are available for those who are hooked on drugs to give them the Christian path. Wagner Hills, right, is one of them. We're going to be talking about that ministry in the coming weeks. People here in this nation are sinning against the light. Christ is portrayed in so many ways. We even have movies. Hello? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man. It's interesting preaching from the book of Ezekiel. A little different. Son of man, go to the house of Israel. Go to Canada. That's right. Hello? I think the house of Israel is very similar to the house of Canada. There's a lot of similarities. And speak my words to them. Not what you want to say, not what you think needs to be said, but what God is putting in your heart, what God is detailing in your spirit. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Canada. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language. Other Canadians who speak English like you do. Or French like my wife does. Hello? Whose words Not too many people of unfamiliar speech or of hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. There are nations of the world today that are hearing the message of the gospel and they're responding by thousands. And here, we've gotten the gospel out of the school systems. We've gotten Christianity out of our parliament. We've gotten the word of God away from people. And we've transplanted the words of humanity, humanism. Look at verse 7. But the house of Israel, the house of Canada, will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Canada are impudent and hard-hearted. How many know that there are so many people that have heard the gospel over and over and over and over, and they're still resistant? Fires burning all around. Come on, let's talk about it. Fires burning all around. The whole province going up in flames. Do you ever hear any politician saying, hey, you know what? We need to declare a day of prayer and fasting so we can pray that God would spare us in this hour. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. That's what we need to do. Hard-hearted. They've got a better plan. There's no better plan than the plan God has instituted, and that is that a man would repent of their sins and invite Jesus into their heart, hallelujah, and be transformed by the grace of Almighty God. I like verse 8. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their forehead. Now, I've thought a lot about this verse. And I've studied it. Read some commentaries on it. And you know what it means? As strong as they are to reject the gospel, as strong as we need to be to keep preaching it. Are you hearing me? As strong as they are to resist it, as strong as we need to be to keep preaching it, hallelujah, glory be to God. You know, the tendency is, and I'll be honest, I felt this, oh, what's the use? They're not interested anyway. It's us four and no more. Close the door. That's it. We've got everybody. But you know what? We've got to keep preaching the gospel. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how stubborn people are to resist it, no matter what they say with their mouths against us, we need to be strong in this hour and keep preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if one person gets saved, it's worth it. Hallelujah. If two people get saved, it's worth it. Hallelujah. If five people get saved, it's worth it. Hallelujah. They're saying, my head is so hard. And I'm saying, my head's hard too. I'm not going to stop preaching what God has put in my heart. Are you hearing me? I have fought the devil all week. Are you hearing me this morning? I have fought the devil all week. I felt so oppressed this week because he didn't want this message to come forward. But I'm going to declare it in the name of Jesus. Back off, devil. Back off, devil. Back off, devil. God wants to make your forehead like flint. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I want to make your forehead, Ezekiel. And he wants to do the same for us. That we are not going to be offended when people hate us. We are not going to be offended when people despise us. We're just going to keep on preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And we're not going to slow down. And we're not going to take our foot off the gas. We're going to keep preaching it. He says, God says, do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks. You know those looks you get? How many know what I'm talking about? You know those looks you get when you try to preach the gospel to somebody that doesn't want to hear it? You know, like you're a kook, a nut, a basket case. But blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news. Isn't that what the Bible says? Blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news. You think it was easy? Pastor Raff has talked about this many times. Do you think it was easy for the early church to preach the gospel? They were stoned. They were crucified. They were fed to the lions. But that didn't stop them. They kept on preaching. And that's the way we need to be. We can't allow their faces to keep us from doing God's will and delivering the message that God has given us. He said, don't be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart. And Linda said this morning, this message is a wake-up call for us. I said, this message is a wake-up call for us. Hello? Can I say it again? This message is a wake-up call for all of us. For the church. You know, I have followed David Wilkerson until he passed away all my life. I had a chance to meet him in person in his church. The ministry of Teen Challenge began in the heart of New York City with hardened criminals. Hardened criminals! And I've been on those streets in New York City. And I remember, you've seen the movie where David Wilkerson is preaching and those criminals are cursing at him. But one day, in a meeting in an auditorium, Nikki Cruz, God touched his heart. And all that hatred that was inside of him was replaced by the love of God. Why? Because David Wilkerson said, I'm not going to stop preaching the truth. Even in this gangland atmosphere, I'm going to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on, somebody. No matter how hateful people are, we've got to keep preaching the gospel. He said, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. Now go get my captives to the children of your people and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Sometimes the people that we think are not open are the ones that God wants to save, and He's working on their hearts. I declare this morning the message that God has given to each and every one of us in this hour, to see people redeemed from the power of Satan, brought from darkness into light. Hallelujah. The guy on the motorcycle with the leather jacket, could be the one that God is about to invade and turn that life right around by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Oh, I would love to see this church filled with bikers. Oh, hallelujah, tattooed and all. Bring them all in, God, and save them. Hallelujah. Bring in the homeless. Bring in the drug addicts. Let God redeem. Hallelujah. I don't know how I'm going to end this sermon. If God can save me and you, He can save anybody. Hallelujah. I want to say it again. If God can save you and He can save me, He can save anybody. Hallelujah. I don't care how far into the pit they are. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Whew, I'm getting excited. I don't. You know the key here is to speak what God puts in your heart. And don't be ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I know, listen, some of you are living with family members that are resistant to the gospel. My dad was ridiculed by his own family because he served God, made fun of him, mocked him. That's going to happen to you too. They're going to mock you. They're going to ridicule you. But stand strong and be courageous. I said stand strong and be courageous. Woe to you, Luke 6 and 25. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me. You know, we're going to be hated because we're not going with the flow. Are you hearing me? I said, we're going to be hated because we're not going with the flow. We're swimming upstream and all the fish coming the other way are saying, what are you doing? You're going in the wrong direction. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Oh, the world loves its own, don't they? Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. How many know that's the truth? How many... You know, it's the natural man. I'm ending this message. The natural man wants to be liked, right? Do you like me? No, I hate you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Why do you hate me? I don't know. I just hate you. There must be a reason why you hate me so much. No, not really. I despise you, actually. Because Christ is in you. You don't have to say anything. It's just the presence of God in you. People hate it. If they hated Jesus so much, do you think we're going to escape? That's why we need to cling together. We need to band together. We need to support each other in this hour. I pray that every church in Creston, every church that's preaching the gospel, we would come together, we would take our head out of the sand and realize that we are in perilous times. We might not be able to save Canada, but how about just saving Creston? How about just saving this valley from all the vileness that wants to come in and attack and hinder? If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. There will be a few that will say, you know what? I believe the message. I repent. It may not be everyone, but praise God, there's going to be some that are going to bow their knees and invite Jesus into their hearts. I implore you today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to receive Christ. Will you bow your heads this morning?
Tune in next Sunday or come join us at Grace Christian Fellowship. We'd love to see you.